It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, we're not afraid here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, Phoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. And, boy, lots going on. I mean, you know, it's just sometimes, 5 hours a day isn't enough. You know, what we have for the two-hour morning program today, we have for you a special guest, a good friend, Eric Garris, the man behind antiwar.com. Antiwar.com is devoted to the cause of non-interventionism and is supported by, I'll tell you what it is, it's libertarian. You know, this whole thing, thou shalt not aggress. You know, there's your best anti-war argument right there. I see any conflict, any issue, any use of power of the man, and I just got to go, all right, I just want to know one thing. Who is aggressing against whom? That's all I want to know. Who's the aggressor? Who's the one, you know, whatever the other guy does, man, you know, that's is it justified that somebody's using force on you, putting, you know, the left jackboot or the right jackboot on jackboot on your throat party? I mean, you know, am I allowed to do something? Am I allowed to say, you know what, I wish to continue breathing in and out. I wish to continue having my liberty. I wish to continue having control of my property, and I will do whatever to maintain that. Well, how are they the bad guy? So when does that happen? How does that happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going on now. Afghanistan is, I can feel it happening. And with Clapper being picked by Obama to go head up the intelligence of the NSA and all that, I'm going, we had Ray McGovern on yesterday afternoon for 2 hours. And it was, I remember conversations over the years of exactly this kind of selective intelligence and twisting and turning and everything that got us into war. And now Obama, Mr. I'm going to stop the wars, brings this guy in to head that. I'm going, could it be any more freaking obvious? And we got the Pentagon of all organizations, of all entities, of all, we got the Pentagon telling us how rich in mineral wealth Afghanistan is. Really? Okay. Then what do we have? We also have, just a couple days ago, there's an American claiming to be hunting Osama bin Laden, was arrested in Pakistan. He had, as he was an American armed with a pistol and a 40-inch sword, was detained in northern Pakistan and told investigators he was on a solo mission to kill Osama bin Laden, the police officer said Tuesday. And then, of course, the U.S. Embassy gets involved in everything. Heck, that was called letters of mark and reprisal. I mean, letters of mark. Yeah, you know, that's a Congress. They could do that. It's like, here, it's a reward for, go. How many billions, hundreds of billions of dollars could you have saved if you just did that? Go. Nobody'd be safe. Any bad guy, you're on the list. But that's not what it's about. It's not about finding Osama. It's not about winning a war. It's about fighting wars. Fighting. Eric Garris, you've been covering this stuff since Bosnia, as far as I know. That's when I first knew of you guys. Tell us, man, a little bit about antiwar.com and yourself, and then I want to start getting in this Afghanistan thing.
Well, thanks for having me, Ernie.
Beep, two times up. I'm sorry, man. This segment's really short. And we'll be back in, 30 seconds are going to hit it. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at the clock. I used this first segment to kind of introduce it. Got people on the edge of their seats, ready to get the story about antiwar.com and a longtime freedom activist, Eric Garris. You stay right there. We'll be right back with Eric Garris from antiwar.com. Go check it out. We'll be right back.
there are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh, it's right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and on antiwar.com with Eric Garris. Eric, I got you there. I'm sorry I frustrated you, but man, go for it. I give you all this time. You can tell me everything about Eric Garris and antiwar.com, then we'll get into the issues, man.
Well, thanks for having me, Ernie. The antiwar.com is celebrating its 15th anniversary this year. We were originally formed to fight against Bill Clinton's wars in the Balkans and then expanded from there. War, unfortunately, is so with us that war has been the health of antiwar.com.
And the health of the state.
Yes, I know. but we have expanded. We're currently getting about 70,000 unique visitors a day, and we have several million page views a month. So we're significant on the web, and we are operating 24 hours a day, every day of the year, to get the news about war and peace and foreign policy out to the masses, because you won't find this kind of news in the mainstream media.
And if you do, you gotta, you know, it's like page C14 of the blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we do the same thing on Freedom's Phoenix. We pull a lot of the stories from Antiwar. If I want to go see what's really going on, I'll go on antiwar.com, and I'll see a lot of the information is either in foreign newspapers. It was a little bitty blurb in the back of the Wall Street Journal or something. Or it's, you know, just more spin by the guys. The lamestream media, the media so last century. It's never about the news. It's about spinning of the olds, you know. I'm so frustrated, but I am optimistic that we have places like antiwar.com that give us the skinny on what's really going on. And where do you get a lot of your information? Individuals, other publications around the world? How do you populate your page?
Well, about half of our information comes from our staff. We have a staff of about 10, and lately, we've been getting more and more of our own original news stories, most of them written by Jason Ditz, who is awesome in terms of bringing together various sources to write news summaries that cut to the chase, and where, you know, you might find that you have to read paragraph 14 of a particular article to find the important part. Jason's articles highlight the things that are really key in those articles and in these news stories.
Yep, very cool. So then what is the main focus that you think you guys, I mean, in general, of course, I'm sure it's, you know, hey, this war thing doesn't work, but why? I mean, what is your focus? You're going, the advocacy that you're giving to your readers and to people and the message that you're sending out there by having a site, antiwar.com, very popular site. I mean, you're up there with the big boys on traffic. I mean, I'm looking right now and I'm going, dang, man, you guys got my butt whipped. But the thing is I'm going, okay, so the message that you have, this enormous platform that you're out there telling the world, is that we are in opposition to war because why?
Well, war is the biggest and most damaging thing that the state can do. And, you know, there's a real push now with the Tea Parties and within the mainstream of the country for smaller government. But there's a disconnect because people don't realize that empire interventionism is the antithesis of small government. And the only way that you're going to reduce the size and power of government is to reduce it across the board, not just domestically, but also in terms of our intervention around the world. Well, also, the fact is that much of our intervention around the world is leading to the problems that government has to go ahead and try and fix. And this is no different from domestic operations of the government. They constantly are creating problems that they have to turn around and say that they're going to solve. But when they try and solve it, they create additional problems. And we see this, and people are recognizing this in terms of domestic issues, but they're not making the connection in foreign policy.
Do you really think they're not, or is it just the media has kind of given the impression that they're not, or they're championing something else? Because I see a lot of opposition. You know, I'm on the ground out here, and I'm telling you, they're getting it, you know, from all across the spectrum. And then, you know, but then you have to put faith in the election process. I mean, if I'm the big bad government that would lie, cheat, steal from my own people, go murder people everywhere in my name, oh, and by the way, use my money to do it, but I wouldn't do election fraud because that would be wrong, okay? But if I got the access to control who gets to be in to spend the trillions of dollars. You know, I'm thinking that a war on the election process would be a heck of a lot easier than having to take over a country with a tank if you can do it with a floppy disk. I mean, you see my point?
Well, yes. More and more people are realizing the connection between foreign policy and the growth of government at home. But I think that people get scared of things that are less familiar to them. And so what you have is, if you listen, for example, to Judge Napolitano's show last weekend, where he had Ron Paul and Sarah Palin on, Sarah Palin is a typical leader who does not get the connection. On one hand, rhetorically, she sounds like she's for small government. But in fact, she is for bigger government because she's pushing for this incredible spending. The amount of money that we spend on intervention is one of the reasons that we're in such a bad financial shape.
You know what I saw that, and we had it up on Freedom's Phoenix, that interview. We look forward to that because it was the first show that Judge Andrew Napolitano on Fox Online. It was the first time that his Freedom Watch show had left the internet and gone straight to Fox Cable. And everybody's like, okay, he's getting a big, because a lot of people don't realize he gets as many views on his Freedom Watch show online than many of the hosts have on Fox News. So they're going, wow, you know, it's kind of, I'm shocked it took this long. Well, of course, what's the big show? It's going to be Sarah Palin, Ron Paul, he's going to have his own show up on the big screen. We're going to make it go work. Well, what do they say? Ron Paul, man, he did it well. He's like, hey, man, you know, this is what's what. And Sarah, never missing the opportunity. This was the opportunity she wanted. At the very end, she inserted in there, well, but them libertarians, you know, the libertarians, they kind of like, they don't like any government. And we need to have some government to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. And I'm going, yep, that's the difference. And I tell you, one of the things they want to do, they want to be able to go wage war. So this Tea Party thing and the Ron Paul Revolution, do you see them ever really coming together under that banner? Even with Rand. Rand's out there. He wins a nomination for U.S. Senate in Kentucky. He's going to be running there. Do you see Rand as anti-war, or is he just, you know, kind of playing a little bit to the Tea Party to get elected? Is he going to come around later? Is he different than his dad? Is he really the same? What's your opinion?
Well, I'm hopeful that he is just trying to get elected, but unfortunately, you see politicians constantly saying that they are actually for something, but they're just trying to get elected, and once they're elected, they're going to reveal their true selves. And unfortunately, this doesn't usually happen. And so I am disappointed with not only Rand, but some of the other Tea Party, Ron Paul-affiliated candidates who are not tying the foreign policy issues the way that Ron Paul does. Ron Paul is excellent at explaining to people how war and intervention are tied to big government.
Yeah, and we have those candidates here in Phoenix, Arizona, too, or in Tucson, you know, the congressional candidates. Had them in the studio, talked to them. We'll talk about that when we come back. Where's the anti-war movement? Where? Well, we're going to see if we can find it or get a call out to them when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Eric Garris from antiwar.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. Get peace train, holy roller. Everyone jump on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Yeah, the peace train. Is it getting louder? You know, not in the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, it sure as heck is not. You know, there's always a war on something. You know, how about a war on war? You know, let's do that. Eric, that's one thing I wanted to make sure we got to, is that the anti-war movement, where is it?
Since the election of Obama, we've seen the so-called progressives falling away from the anti-war movement, ignoring the issues, or even in the case of some of them, using the opportunity to become pro-war. For example, you have Vote Vets, which a couple of years ago was very, very strongly against the surge in Afghanistan, was for withdrawing from Iraq as quickly as possible. Now they are trying to drum up war on Iran. They have these ads running talking about how we have to end our dependence on foreign oil, and the reasons they give are that paying for foreign oil is financing the killing of U.S. troops, and then they show a picture of the president of Iran. So you have all of these political types are political opportunists, and they will go pro or anti-war depending on what supports their political agendas.
You know, I saw this happen, and I'm sure we've talked about this before. I was in Crawford, Texas during Cindy Sheehan's Camp Casey thing, covering it for Air America at the time when I was producing for Charles Goyette. And I spent a week in the ditch, you know, doing the fire ant thing, and I had a totally different perspective. I played journalist. I'm out there. You know, Alex Jones was out there. We got to meet and talk with each other. And, you know, we've been on each other's shows and so on. And I think it was, of all the people there, it probably was only he and I that really got a bead on what was happening or understood what was going on. MoveOn had brought in, they had the place there called the House of Peace, that they had bought this house, knowing they were going to do this kind of stuff anyway. Cindy was just the, you know, she's a lot more libertarian than people give her credit. She understands. She'd rather have a progressive social kind of network and everything, but not by force. And, you know, Cindy's like, hey, yeah, no, I think be family kind of oriented and commune and whatever, but I'm not going to make people do it. Well, that's the difference between them and the socialists, you know, or communists. We're going to put a gun to your head, and guess what? We're going to take your stuff and redistribute. Well, she's not that far. But the thing is that she was a champion for a lot of these people. And they brought a lot of attention to them. They get the House of Peace there. They take one of the little bedrooms, and they turned it into a blog central. And they brought in high-speed internet, and the Wi-Fi was there, and tons of these different blogs. You know, it's you know, the people you'd expect, Daily Cause, Common Dreams, you know, this kind of stuff. So they come in under this umbrella of support by MoveOn and whatever else was behind them. I could see what was happening. They were taking the opportunity of doing the anti-war thing to make sure the Democrats get elected. It was all about that. At the end of this, towards the end of the stint down there, they went to say, I saw this happen. They go to Cindy and they said, Cindy, you can't say immediate withdrawal anymore. It has to be phased withdrawal. And she's like, no, no, I'm not doing that. Immediate out, done, 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 done. Boom. If you don't say phased withdrawal, we're going to pull all support and you will be evil incarnate. All right. She goes, that, do your best. And they did. And I saw what had happened. I could see it coming. The left side of the pyramid, the right side of the pyramid, you get up to the top, it's the same people controlling both sides. And when the Obama administration got in, it was on this popular support of ending the wars, but at all times it was controlled by the same people on the other side. It was just a mechanism, dials that they turn. So I could see it. I could see what they were doing. And I'm going, yep, here it comes. And we reported on it. We talked about it on even on the Air America affiliate. And I see that now. Now we have Obama administration in there. And who's really pulling the strings? You got any idea?
Well, that's a very complex question. I think that there are a lot of different elements in there that are putting forth their own agendas. But one of the things that is constant is that this war issue is something they can capitalize on. They use the war to go for whatever other agenda that they have. And, you know, you have with mission creep, for example, in Afghanistan, you see that it's not even clear why we're in Afghanistan now. New reasons pop up all the time. And a lot of them are big government reasons, big government for Afghanistan. We have to fund schools. We have to fund the police. We have to fund all these things in Afghanistan to build a nation like we have here, or even stronger, a stronger government than we have here.
And they are totally different. When we come back, I want to talk about that. We've had all this week, we've had a bunch of NGO people that have gone over in Pakistan and Afghanistan and told us of the situation on the ground. But their answer is, well, we need to take all this war money that we've stolen from the American people and future generations and put it towards redistribution of the wealth to the poor people in Afghanistan. I'm like, can we just stop stealing?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud. Rich now voices can be heard. Just want to scream it louder and louder and louder. What the hell we fighting for?
Yeah! What are we fighting for here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the BAU? Beautiful studios of freedomsphoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona, with my good friend online, Eric Garris from antiwar.com. Anti-war. Anti, as in not for. And the one thing I wanted to make sure we got to, Eric, was in Afghanistan, as I'm talking to a lot of these people, they, of course, they want to, you know, in the name of progressive whatever, want to take my money and do what they want to do with it. And I'm just for stop taking my money and a lot of these problems just get solved. But in Afghanistan, you have a culture that they don't really have this national school system that's saying pledge to a single flag and the national soccer team's got everybody around their TV. Kind of, they're, you know, more rural. They are tribal. They have – but they're trying to make them national so that they can have somebody to sign a contract so all that mineral wealth is now ours, you know. So I it's why you have so many empires go there to, you know, be slaughtered and die, because they're just not made to be consolidated. It's not that kind of culture. I mean, can Afghanistan be subjugated? Do you think they can? Or aside from the fact that whether they should or not, is it even possible?
Well, the history shows that it's not very likely. Afghanistan has got the nickname the graveyard of empires. Over hundreds of years, people have tried to subdue Afghanistan, and it's been a disaster each time for each of those empires, and it's one of the reasons that caused the fall of the Soviet Union. It's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to get nations to change the way they are just through bribery and coercion. Even if there is a tendency toward modernization or a different government, what happens is our intervention actually puts that off. I mean, that's what you see in Iran. When Iran elected a democratically elected government in the early 50s, the United States and Britain performed a coup, which set them back to the point where they have now gone back several centuries in terms of the level of their government.
Well, what has been Afghan governments in the past without empires in there trying to impose one or saying, hey, guess what? Your village has got a representative to go over here and you're now part of the collective. I mean, I don't really recall throughout history that there ever really was an Afghan. Who even did the borders? Where'd that come from? Was that the, you know, French-English after Lawrence of Arabia thing, World War One deal, or did they have defined borders before? When did that happen?
Well, the borders in Afghanistan are very porous and ever changing. You know, you have the areas that are on the border of Pakistan, and these are really the tribal areas are actually not part of Afghanistan or Pakistan. They are autonomous, and you have a great deal of autonomy that's existed over the years in Afghanistan, and what centralized governments have existed by having truces or agreements with the various tribal leaders and networks. So you've never had any sort of central government in Afghanistan, and the current government of Afghanistan barely is able to govern Kabul, and they really are not in the rest of the country.
You know, someone referred to Karzai as the mayor of Kabul. Is that all he is? Is he a national guy? Or is that kind of, you know, I didn't get the chance to dwell on that, but they just kind of see, hey, man, that's his only stronghold or what?
Well, it is. And the only way that he's been able to keep power, again, is by bribery and coercion, the carrot and the stick.
Well, he's starting to work with the Taliban. I mean, you know, he's like, look, man, if the United States government can't keep me safe, well, guess what? I want to continue breathing in and out. I'll be buddies with the Taliban. Here we go all over again. So I'm just, you know, and what about the Northern Alliance? And what about the oil interest there? And what about the mineral wealth now being done by the Pentagon? What the heck is the Pentagon coming out talking about, you know, the mineral wealth that needs to be exploited and we got and it's going to pay for the war? What is this, Wolfowitz stuff? We're going to go to the Middle East and fight a war and make money? I mean,
Exactly. They're trying to evoke the images of the old mercantilist interventionism where the colonialists would strip the countries of their natural resources. And that's what Wolfowitz was trying to sell during Iraq, and that's what the Pentagon is, with this new focus, is trying to sell in Afghanistan.
Well, they have to have the concept that the American people either will support that idea or that they can convince everybody in America that all their neighbors support that idea. Yeah, you may be smart enough to know what's going on. You may understand what's happening. You may disagree with this. But you know what? All your stupid neighbors, they want us to do this. Oh, by the way, they voted for the guy that wanted to go rape and pillage around the planet and build the empire and redo our wealth and so on. It's like I'm reading newspapers from the Roman Empire.
Well, that's right. It's really no different if you watch documentaries about the colonial era in Britain. You know, the British Empire was destroyed through ultimately through trying to subjugate a good part of the world, and it in the modern day you don't have the benefits have not been reaped, and the side effect of blowback is now with world travel becoming a serious threat. And so now we're spending money to stop the things that we're creating at the same time that we're creating them.
Well, I get the impression that not only is it expected that you would have this kind of blowback, it seems like it's almost required for them to be able to perpetuate this, they're out to get us thing. You know, I'm really surprised that there hasn't been another big, giant, oh my goodness, terrorist attack, blame. And the only thing I can think of that's making it more difficult for them, way too many video cameras. You know, so there's something coming, and I just feel it. You know, they're going to, it could be a space alien invasion. I mean, you know, if that's what it takes to get people combined, distracted from whatever, here it comes. Nothing will surprise me anymore. But what do you think the real threat is going to be? I mean, what is the real threat that that's on the horizon that we have? I know they want to build up Iran. I mean, this Iran thing has been going on forever. You know, I remember, Ritter and McGovern and all these guys, we had them on the show for years, and they gave us documentation of all of this stuff they've been trying to do to go to Iran, and it never stops. And if they do this, let's talk about Clapper. You got any opinion on Obama's appointment of this guy?
Well, just that it seems like he's focusing more and more on control to try to control the situation, and it's out of control. Obama is basically flailing. The wars are not just failing wars, they're flailing wars.
Well, he made absolutely, really, no attempt to do anything that he promised. You know, Guantanamo's still open, got problems there. He sanctions this rendition, foreign go-get-em thing. Even U.S. citizens, we have, still this concept that you can be stripped of your citizenship and no longer have human rights, which I don't think citizenship has anything to do with that. And you have these continuation expansions of the war. We have drone attacks in Yemen and Pakistan, and it's just and who's supporting it? Well, of course, we have polls coming out today. He's at as low as at 42%. You know, so I'm going, does he care? I mean, is there going to be some revitalization of something for the reelection bid? Or was this always the plan of here comes Hillary Clinton? Then what happens? Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State, and what do they got him arguing for now? The State Department wants to have their own combat troops. I'm going, what the heck is going on? Comment on this stuff, man. Help me out here.
Well, as government creates these problems, they try to fix them with more of the same. It's the typical line from the old Yes Minister show. Politicians say, something must be done, this is something, therefore we must do it. They don't look at whether these things can be actually effective. It's just calling for more government. And they know, the people in power know, that the results are going to be more power for them. And so since that's their primary motivation, they're willing to lie to the American people, go through mission creep, and just get to the point where, most people now agree we shouldn't have gone into Iraq. Unfortunately, many of those people think that we, now that we're there, we have to stay there and fix it. And that's the case everywhere. We go into these places often with minor incursions in the beginning, creating new problems and giving the American state a reason to expand.
You know, we have the facade is starting to crack. I mean, it was cracked before we even got started. But on Obama, he came out and he did his speech on, British Petroleum, allowed me to tell you that, I mean, kind of thing. And he gave this speech. And Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews of MSNBC, you know, they've been Obama, you know, the perfect cheer for a long time. But, you know, all of a sudden, after the presidential address, man, they just went off on him. You go on Freedom's Phoenix, it's a liberal MSNBC host Savage Obama after disastrous Oval Office speech. And what they're saying is that, you know, he's not, I don't know, doing whatever they want enough, to the point that you got Olbermann and Matthews up there, and Olbermann can't be outdone, so he says, you know, the GD word, like Matthews did on the gun thing that time. Remember that? And he's,
yeah.
So here comes Olbermann, man. GD, blah, 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 and the oil and should be doing and this and that. And they are savaging Obama. I mean, they're starting to go after him, but it's never about the war anymore. I mean, they'll love to go after him on this oil thing, but the war is kind of, you know, it's somebody else. You know, somebody else did it, or this general, this Republican senator, or these guys. And I'm going, you know, there it is. I have to think, especially with sites like yours, antiwar.com, Eric Garris from antiwar.com, by the way, that you have antiwar.com has to be seen as an inoculation against the BS. And are you ever attacked by the – do they have you come on these cable shows? Do they use you? Are you given – and you have a lot of traffic. I mean, you're way up there with the boys. But are they doing everything they can to ignore you, or do they support you? And the people that do support you, who are they?
Well, I know that they read us, and they do attack us constantly, but they rarely have us on to actually interact with their pundits.
So the liberal media, you know, you have conservative, you got Fox, MSNBC, and CNN, kind of, you know, whatever. And they come after you based on what? Your libertarian, utopian kind of, we should just, not have war? I mean, what is it that they're criticizing you for?
Well, they'll criticize us for being pro-terrorist or anti-government, or, you know, any. It depends on their particular focus, but often we're used as an example of what's wrong. Just as the Tea Parties and the Ron Paul movement are now being demonized by people like Chris Matthews, who, if you've seen what he's been doing this week and what he's going to be doing today, it's just, it's, you know, he says that he's going after a McCarthyite movement, but in fact he's the McCarthyite in the traditional sense.
And, you know, they're using their platform to further whatever their agenda is. Can you sum that up? I mean, seriously, I mean, from a libertarian perspective, as we look at, you know, all the three ones that you got, the talk shows up there, blah, 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 MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and amongst them, combined, all of them, 3-4 million on a good week, you know, that they have, you know, average viewers that even watch them at a country of 300 million. Everybody's so concerned about how many people do that. Heck, you got 25% of that audience a month just going to antiwar.com. So I'm just going, you know, and then, of course, they're the smarter ones. So you have this thing that's coming after what it is you represent is just peace. What is it that is their agenda? What are they hoping to do? Consolidate power of the state, or to steer it in what they want to do, or just give it legitimacy, or, well, what's their function?
Well, that's exactly right. They really don't care about the issues. For example, the oil spill, while it's tragic, is actually being looked at as a boom to the radical environmentalists, to the pro-war type, because it gives them a chance to push the other parts of their agenda.
And cap and trade! You know, we need to have money to clean up international. This is going to go, they're waiting for the first tar ball to go hit the coast of another country, be it Mexico or Europe or whatever. They're going to, see, I told you we needed to have a policy that stole more money from you to redistribute, to clean it up, the mess that we made. Oh, more with Eric Garrison in a little bit.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, what's that solution? Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, my very, 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 very special guest, Eric Garris from antiwar.com. He has a mission, and it's anti-something. What's your mission, Eric?
Our mission is to let people know what the real issues are around war and peace and foreign policy, to give them the information they're not seeing anywhere else.
And
I think it's important to mention Antiwar.com gets over 90% of its funding from our readers. We do not get big foundation money. We do not get giant grants. We don't have huge sugar daddies. Our average contribution is around $50, and it's supported by our quarterly fund drives online.
You know, I wanted to make sure you had a opportunity for the commercial. I mean, I give you that. I tell you, I want the audience to know this one thing. Antiwar.com was the first and probably one of the few organizations or online entities that I ever gave money to. When it first started in the 90s, I mean, you guys started, what, 95 or something?
Yes, 95.
In the I guess it was about that time, maybe a little bit later, it was a good friend of mine. He was the state chair of the Libertarian Party here at the time, Mike Duggar. He's a postal carrier for the U.S. Postal Service. I think he got a bumper sticker or somebody was telling me about it. Go check. You want to know what's going on? Go here. Because where else are you going to go? Sure as heck wasn't in the lamestream media, the media that's so last century. So we go there, and you were needing money to, you know, just do what you're doing. And I'm like, heck yeah. And I was poor. So I'm worth $5 a month or something. So I just said, you know, go. And then I just didn't even pay attention to it, you know, worry about it for years. And it wasn't until later that I started to, you know, learn, you know, become friends and know Scott Horton that works with y'all, has antiwar.com radio, the libertarian movement I could see was way behind this, Angela Keaton, a lot of people that I knew. And I'm like, heck yeah. So I love having the opportunity. I rarely do this. Go to antiwar.com and give them freaking money. Give them five, but give them something. Because I'm telling you, if it's not them, then who? Who is telling you what is happening using the greatest power of the state with a big freaking F-15, A-10 Warthog, M-1 Abrams tank battleship going around spending your money and killing people in your name for the benefit of what? The beast that is devouring you here at home. And it's really no more complicated than that. And then you can get all kinds of warm fuzzy about how I went and killed people with, you know, things on their head. But I mean, then what? Yeah, yay, yay, yay. Is that your thing? Well, heck, that's Sarah Palin Tea Party thing. Ooh, man, we can't be good Republicans unless we advocate killing somebody. Well, somebody's got to advocate not killing somebody. Antiwar.com. Is that good enough commercial for you, Eric?
That's great. Thank you, Ernie.
Well, I wanted to have the opportunity to do this, and I wanted to, you know, do what I can to help you guys, because we rip you off every chance we get. And we use a lot of your stuff, you know, on Freedom's Phoenix to make sure people have an idea of what's going on. And one of the things that's going on is this WikiLeaks founder guy, what's his name, Julian Assange or something?
Assange, yes.
And he's the Pentagon wants to talk to him so that they can seek his cooperation and not, you know, exposing whatever. And I'm wondering how they're going to seek his cooperation. You know, and well, you know, you got any comment on that? I mean, does he need some protection too?
I think he does. I think that they may be looking for him with drones at this point.
And hellfire missiles. It's like a bad B science fiction movie. Well, thanks for spending time with us, Eric. It's always a pleasure spending time with you. And I want to make sure that I do whatever I can to encourage you. You just keep doing what you're doing because we need it.